Hi everyone, I'm here today with Tessa Hawes. She is the founder, CEO, and franchisor at Mini Me Mindfulness. Quite a mouthful that, but Tessa, nice to have you on.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, it's great. I'm really interested to hear your story. Because I always look at people's LinkedIn profiles before doing this, and it doesn't tell the whole story, obviously, but you can kind of see a progression there. So I thought we'd dig into that. But just before we get going, could you just tell me and everyone about Mini Me Mindfulness and what the business does and what you offer your customers or clients?
Sure. So Mini Me Mindfulness, we mentor children, pre and primary school children, on positive mindfulness and mindset techniques. So we help children to build courage, to recognize their feelings and their emotions, to self-regulate their responses, to kind of increase that and inner calm and happiness, which in turn can help to reduce stresses and anxieties as well. So we very much see ourselves supporting and teaching life-changing skills and life skills that we badge superpowers for our younger audience, that they can actually put in their back pocket and actually pull on when they actually need them. So that's what we do. We are here to help support the education and the personal development journeys of pre and primary school children.
Brilliant. Is part of your curriculum, Tessa, getting kids to watch Inside Out? Have you seen that?
I have seen that, yes. It's a great film. I love it. I love that. Yeah,
It's
absolutely.
brilliant.
There's quite a few films actually that have got amazing meanings with them that actually link in. And we did when Encanto came out, actually that was one of the programs that we actually took some of the characters of that and we worked those into our lessons as well to make them very relevant for the audience that we're teaching.
Yeah. And Tessa, what have you found? Because there's so much in the news about kind of children having been affected by COVID and being away from school and their friends and the structure and routines that they were used to, and then suddenly it's kind of all gone. And how has that how okay wh how have you seen the impact on children, and how are you helping to kind of overcome some of that impact with what you
Yeah,
do?
we started Mini Me Mindfulness because of the demand that came out of the beginning of the lockdown, actually. So I've coached on I've been a mindset mentor for many years, but mainly in the business world, and kind of opened that up to a wider kind of adult audience about 7 or 8 years ago. And at the beginning of the lockdown, I had a significant demand from the parents that I mentor that said, "I wish you could do something similar for our children." So actually that's how Mini Me Mindfulness actually came about, because of the mental health challenges that came around because of COVID and because of the lockdown and children being at school and the negative impact that was having on them. So that is the reason why we formed, because we provided kind of a free service in a Facebook group, and we supported, there were 1,500 parents in that Facebook group within the first sort of 5 days, and then 2,000, then 3,000, 4,000. So when we provided kind of a free service all the way through that first lockdown, and then when the children started to go back to school and the world started to open up as business as usual, I thought actually there's lots we can do to coach children on a one-to-one basis, or sorry, on a face-to-face basis. And that's when I started to engage with schools and with nurseries and the parent community, and there was lots of demand for what we do and what we can teach. So that's kind of when Mini Me Mindfulness was formed. So the impact has been quite significant on children, and unfortunately a lot of the children that are starting school right now, or kind of entering nurseries and starting, they're the preschool children, were all born in that period. So their emotional regulation and their understanding, their feelings and their social connections are very, very different to what we've ever experienced before with children, because they've been born into a very different fear-based world, where social interaction has been significantly different than anything we've experienced in history.
Found this on the web.
Oh,
Yeah,
sorry.
I've got two kids that go to, I've got two kids that go to a small village primary school here, and even in that school there, you see the effects, and that's in a really small school, and then when you blow that out and you think nationally, and it's It's crazy how much the effect has been, and it's brilliant that there are businesses like yours that are kind of growing out of that and helping, because it's really, really tough for schools to deal with it on their own. That's I think that's what I've found. I've been a governor at our local school as well, and that's the kind of thing you see, is that the schools just aren't equipped. There's just no way. They need to lean on third parties that can bring experts in and be supported by the government with the funds for that. And so it's yeah. And I guess that's so it's that so that one. Do you work purely through schools? How else are you able to tap into working with children other than through schools directly?
Yeah, so we actually work with primary schools, and we work with schools depending on what their demands and needs are. As you quite rightly say, every school is slightly different. They all operate differently. They have different, but one thing they ha are is stretched in resource. So when the teachers are asked to then, increase their knowledge in certain areas, like for example, supporting the mental health of children, one of the their time was stretched anyway in terms of teaching their subjects, and actually teaching 30 children in a class is challenging. But actually, so bringing in an additional resource like Mini-Me Mindfulness, has been very, very well received by by the teachers, and by the schools as well, because they know they're getting an all school approach to very important subject matter, but without having to retrain teachers and put on an extra kind of straw on their desk, if you like. Because so we work with primary schools, and we work with them, as I say, depending on what their demands and needs are. So in an ideal world, we'll go in and actually we run the all of the we work within their curriculum time, and we will teach cohorts of children for the whole of the academic year. So teachers bring the children into us. We then teach the children positive mindfulness and mindset techniques. The teachers are present, and then they continue to work those our language and the skill sets into the classroom, on a daily basis, and then they come back in the next week and learn the next superpower. So we also work with nurseries, so preschool children, so really helping them to build their internal superpowers around the transition from preschool, so nurseries, up to their reception class. And that's a really, really adorable age to work with. They're just like little sponges. They soak it all up, and which is really exciting. But we also work with parents. We work in the community. We do run after school clubs. We run holiday camps as well. We've just actually been given the we've just been added onto the holiday activities and food program as well by the Department of Education. So we've just been approved by them to provide holiday camps as well. So there's lots of ways that we work within the communities where kids are hanging out, whether that's after school or during the school day, or before they even start on their school education journey. So it's all of those in all of those mediums that we actually work.
And Tessa, with with parents, how do you kind of empower them or help to educate the parents? Because I think that's one of the most difficult things, is obviously teachers can understand and learn, and they paid to do that, and then they are paid to kind of care for and teach those kids, and so they can adopt those things that they see and learn through you. But it's when kids go home that often there's this disconnect. And how do you create that connection so that it is an overall in their home and school life between teachers and parents and what you do, because that's the joined up thing which is often missing in these extracurricular or these activities that schools bring in.
Yeah, we're hugely passionate about creating that circle, because what we if we run a community class and parents are bringing their children along to that class, of course they can sit in on the first class to make sure that we're the right fit for their child and exactly what they're looking for. But then, as you quite rightly say, we're then working with the children. But at the end of the session, when the parents pick up the children, we always make sure we share the superpowers. So today we've been working with gratitude. Today we've been working on affirmations. Today we've been working on posture. This is what what we've been doing, and this is how you can help support your children at home. And this is how, this is the home practice, because we can teach the superpowers, but actually it's the, it's practicing them and making them positive habits that actually really empowers the children. So we ensure that we have that circle of communication with parents. And also, even when we're working in schools, we always provide some, you know, some feedback that can go into parents' newsletters, and so they know exactly what we, what we're teaching. We do run parent and preschool children classes within the community as well, so that parents can come and can bring their preschooler along, you know, to a session where we are actually working with the parent and the child. And in a lot of those sessions, because the children are so young, you know, our sessions are 45 minutes. Are they always engaged the whole time? Not always, because of the age group, but it's the parent that's actually learning to take those skill sets into the home to be able to help their child that way. What we also have is we have a parent community on our on a Facebook group. So we share lots of information on there. I say we, it's myself and the Mindset Mentor franchisees that we have within our franchise network that actually share their, you know, their top tips, what they've been working on, what they've observed. And we have a great community actually within that, a kind of a closed Facebook group. And we also have an online solution as well, which is, which parents can learn with their children at home. And that's through our Mentoring for Kids by Kids program, where my son is actually the mentor, and he at age 8 recorded a series of mindfulness techniques and also mindset techniques that actually he teaches online, and that can go into any home and school across the UK. We're currently re-recording that because in the primary school world, at age 8, he being a mentor at age 8, when children are age 9, 10 and 11, they don't want to listen to an 8-year-old. So now he's 11, we're actually re-recording that and rolling that out very, very soon. So there's going to be that online support for, you know, that can go into the home and also into schools across the UK with an 11-year-old mentor, which is really engaging and connecting for children.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that sounds really, really great, Tess. And you mentioned franchising, and I wanted to ask you about that. So obviously, as a business, you've grown and you got established, and there were really good reasons for that. When did the idea to franchise the business as a way to grow more nationally, when did that enter your head, if you like, or when did that come up?
It entered my mind very quickly at the beginning of the journey. So when the children went back to school after, you know, and I spoke to schools and nurseries, said that this is how we've been helping online. I'd love to support offline. How can we support? I kind of, you know, worked with schools and nurseries to really kind of put together our proposition and started to work on lesson plans and really kind of built our business framework effectively, you know, in my home city in Chelmsford. And I knew quite quickly that I wasn't doing this to actually impact the handful of children that I could get in front of. I spent 23 years in the city as a financial advisor. I then ran a network marketing business for 10 years. So I had business coaching, business leaders. And I've known from a financial point of view, and also from a working within an industry where it's all about a duplicable system, I knew that I could recreate what I was doing and actually teach others how to do the same, because my purpose has always been about impacting millions of children and not just running a business where I can get in front of maybe 5 classes a week and that's all my time allowed. So franchising was I actually did a course, a Lloyd's course or NatWest course, I think, around franchising and being a franchisor and all the pros and cons. So I actually made sure that I, when looking at how to scale the business and how to impact millions of children, knowing I couldn't do that on my own, was it the best thing to actually then go and employ people and create a network that way and actually control actually going into all of the schools across the country? Did I actually want to be the person that was reaching out to 30,000 primary schools? I tried that in the beginning, and actually we had a mail shot that went out, and I thought, this is a really, you know, expensive way to scale a business because I haven't got time to follow up you know, professionally with all of the people that I'm actually reaching out to in the first place. So I knew that wasn't going to work for me. And then I thought franchising was an option. So after actually doing my due diligence and doing an online course and looking at the ins and outs of actually, is this the way that I want to go? I eventually made that decision quite quickly that I wanted to franchise. I then reached out to a few franchise consultants who kind of discouraged my early approach into franchising, and said actually really what you should be doing is running your mini me mindfulness business and building up your books for the 18 months or 24 months, and then you've got a business that you that people might want to look at and duplicate. My purpose and passion was not that. It wasn't to put the numbers on a spreadsheet, but it was to impact children. And thinking about the time that we set our business up, we didn't have 18 to 24 months. I knew that there'd be thousands of children that could benefit from what we have right now at that time. And therefore I took, I suppose, a leap of faith in going into franchising and actually going through the process of actually setting the franchise up, against, I suppose, professional guidance. So, and I'm really pleased that we did, because it was more, you know, very much purpose-led, very heart-led. And I know the leaders that stepped forward into our, you know, our kind of pilot franchise are also heart-led leaders that recognized a need and knew that we had a solution that we could bring to children, you know, straight away, and we could have an immediate impact. And that kind of was our journey into franchising.
Yeah, no, Tessa, I think from a consultancy, talking as a consultancy, that's very common for consultants to look at a new business, a brand new business that's only been going like a little amount of time, and to say, well, you haven't quite proven it works as an independent business yet, and so thinking about franchising it is a mistake, and you need to wait. And I personally don't agree with that. Okay, I'm with you, because the journey in franchising, actually franchising a business, the starting point is actually systemizing a business. So the franchising bit's a bit of a red herring to start with, and because actually all you're doing is systemizing a business, and that you should really start the minute you start a business. So franchising a business actually does start from the very beginning, especially if you're thinking about it. And so and then when you take on your pilots, well, the pilots aren't expecting, they don't normally pay the fee that you would charge someone once you're fully formed. They know that there's not 2 years of trading figures to lean on. They are taking their own leap of faith with you, and they are as responsible for helping form the franchise business as you are. So so that's what I mean. So you've done absolutely the right thing. And I think anyone listening, I think it's really good to understand that it takes a while to become a franchise. And so I still would say at the moment, you're not a franchisor yet. You're a franchise business, but a franchisor I always define as a company that has some pilots on board. Those pilots have been working in different areas. And now you've gone out and you're attracting what we call strangers. And those people are then coming on board. That's when you become a true franchisor, I suppose. But as a franchise business, that's exactly what you are now. That's my opinion. That's how I define it. I totally agree, Tessie. You've done the right thing there. And where are you up to? And you talk about pilots, and who have been the first people who have kind of come on this journey with you and are starting to run this business in other areas?
Yeah, we have a real combination, actually. So the first franchisee that came on board, I've known her for a while just through business connections, actually. And she just said, look, if you're going to do this and you need someone else, I would love to be first in line, because I absolutely love what you're doing, and kind of saw the journey right from the beginning and said, if there's an opportunity to come on board with you, I'd love to take it. So that was our first franchisee. We're eight franchisees in now. So the pilot franchise was for five franchisees. The second franchisee, I didn't know before the franchise. We actually met in a holiday situation. Actually, we were chatting. She was at a crossroads in her career and was looking at going into maybe children's counselling, and actually said, oh, I'd love to take a look at what you're doing, and actually came on board, which is brilliant. Third franchisee, I didn't know either. She came to me through a franchise consultant who I'd chatted to, who helped me with the franchise agreement. and said, actually, you might want to chat to Mini Me Mindfulness. It sounds like, but she came from a teaching background, wanted to come out of teaching, and therefore we had a conversation, and she decided actually, yep, it was right. She came on board. The same was another one of our franchisees. I didn't know her either, and she works for one of the schools that we were running our sessions in, and was actually a mental health lead there as well, and decided actually this is absolutely amazing, and saw the impact of our sessions, and decided actually I want to be part of this this solution, and became a franchisee with us. I've had another one of my before the franchise even came up, or Mini Me Mindfulness came up, I decided actually we were going to travel the world for a year. So since I started the franchise, and now I've had a bit of a gap year, and we traveled the world, but I continue to obviously run the franchise with a member of a team who I trained up to run the classes. She took over the classes that I was running while I was away, and decided when I got back, actually, I love this and I want to take the next natural step and actually create a business of my own. So she'd seen everything from the inside, seen the classes, and actually decided to become a business owner, which was amazing. And then I've just had two of my very dear friends have actually bought a franchise, one who's a chief executive of a company and the other one works in children's homes, and have decided to kind of take on a franchise territory as well as a new business venture. And then I've just had the latest franchisee that's just joined us, found us through Google. So it's been a real who I didn't know. You know, we've had two or three meetings, and is coming on board this month, which is really exciting. I don't know if I've left anybody out. I don't know if I have. No, I think that's about it. So it's been a real mixture of being in a fortunate position that people are finding us, they're liking what they see, or they're experiencing our work and they're liking what they see, or they are, you know, there's only been kind of two or three people actually that I've known beforehand that have become franchisees. So it's been a lovely journey, and there's lots of interest at the moment, and lots of people that are reaching out for information and taking that on board, and obviously looking at kind of timing. So there's lots of conversations that are happening, which is very, very exciting.
Well, Tessa, I take back what I said then, because you are a serious franchisor. I had no idea that's very impressive steps you've taken, really, and that's pretty quick growth for a new franchise business, and very impressive actually. So
thank you, especially with a gap year in between
and with a gap year in between. That's amazing. So you are into the stranger part of franchising, and that's the key, because that's where a lot of new franchisors really get or come unstuck and or hit a hurdle or can't get over that is because it can sometimes feel a lot easier when you have an inner circle, you know, people that know you or have known you for years, whether they're friends or family or friends of friends or whatever, and it's because they know you personally that they kind of trust in your business model. To be able to attract strangers, and you've obviously done that a yep. number of times, as you've explained, that's the key, because that proves that you really, really are doing the right things, and things are working, and things are good. So great to hear. Great to hear,
thank
Tessa.
You and I also hear as well, and obviously I've heard people that have talked that are looking, and they're looking at other franchises as well, and actually the some of the feedback we've had recently has been that actually we do go over and above, we go way beyond what other people maybe offer in terms of the training that we provide, and all the behind the scenes, and quite naturally I've got all of our franchisees, that nobody knew each other beforehand, and their own terminology now has turned into, like, you know, we've created the, you know, they're part of their Mini Me Mindfulness family, and people do really feel that as they come, you know, as they come on board, and it is a collection of people that did not know each other beforehand, and I didn't know half of them beforehand, but, you know, we work closely, we share our successes, we share our challenges, and we're linking arms together, and we are impacting children. And I think that the key thing for me is that I'm really looking to attract heart-led leaders. And I have spoken to quite a few people who I've thought they are really not right for our brand. And I'm just certainly not in the space where I'm just looking to sell franchises to maybe the wrong type of people. And even our, you know, our monthly team trainings, I just had, you know, one of our franchisees just passed their first year. And when sharing the kind of the milestone spotlight, so I put it once a month for someone who's just passed a milestone, sharing their experiences. You know, one of the key drivers was, you know, I've impacted 2,500 children in the first year, and I've been into 23 schools, and I've, you know, so it was very much around the impact they've had with their franchise, rather than guess how much I've just earned, you know, and I've paid off my franchise fee, and I'm, you know, I'm in a profit, and I've you know, smashed my first year goals. It's very much around you know, the results, the impact that they've had on the children that they've been teaching. And I think I feel very very aligned with the people that we are bringing on board and that we are attracting. And I do think the universe kind of throws people in your path that are meant to be there.
Where should they go? So give two places they can go. So anyone interested in the services you offer, first of all, you know, tell me where they can go. And secondly, people that either themselves or know someone that might be interested in this type of business, this type of franchise, where can they go? And, you know, is it the same place or different places?
Yeah, the same. Just go through to our website, so minimemindfulness.co.uk, and we have on there lots of information about the services that we provide to both education, to families, and also from a business point of view as well, the information about the franchise. We have a specific franchise page on our website where you can request the prospectus, which gives you lots more information about us as a brand, about our history, where we come from, what we're looking for, whether you might be a good fit for us, and also then there's the opportunity to, you know, to create a discovery call where we can go through things in more detail and see whether, you know, what people are looking for is actually what we can deliver, and also if people can, if what they have got to offer is what we are looking to you know, attract into our franchise arena. Because yeah, it's once we find that synergy, I do, you know, it's incredible to kind of, you know, to when the right energy connects with Mini Me Mindfulness, they know that they've landed in the right place for a reason. And I, you know, I look forward to, I mean, one of the key areas at the moment, the lots of inquiries are coming through at the moment from teachers. I think teachers are in a phase at the moment where they are looking to maybe make career moves, that they need to resign by April to, you know, be out of the classroom by September. So there's a key drive there. And I'm very passionate about keeping our good teachers in education. And I think it's such a shame at the moment, there's so many educators looking to, you know, to jump ship because of maybe the pressures and the strains that are happening within the classrooms and within the kind of education arena. So the more teachers we can keep in front of our children, the better it is. And Mini Me Mindfulness is definitely a place where, you know, teachers can take more of a key decisions around their career, their income, and, you know, and the kind of the work-life balance that they want to achieve. And you can do that in a franchise, you know, easier than you can in a classroom, but you can still use your passions to educate and inspire the next generation, which I think a lot of teachers are passionate about. So it's, yeah, there's lots of lots of things that we're kind of focusing on at the moment, but certainly keeping good teachers in front of the our mini me's, that's a real passion of mine as well at the moment.
No, I think that's it. I thought, you know, there are a lot of teachers that are disillusioned and feel too much pressure in what they're doing, and it is a real shame. But if those teachers can find a home, running their own business with maybe Mini Me Mindfulness, and to be able to use their knowledge of the school system to go back in there in a different way, but still have an impact on children. I think, you know, I think that's what the majority of teachers I know, they want to retain that. Whilst they find it hard to do that in the current climate, and they would like to continue to be able to do that in some form or another. So I think, you know, I think you're absolutely right. It's a very positive way of looking at it. Is how can you, how can you redefine a teacher's career, but keep them doing what they really want to do, and that is certainly the way.
Sorry, and I think also within the franchising arena, I think one of the things that puts people off is going from an employed arena into being self-employed, and that's something I've supported people with over the last 10 years through my app, Boss Your Morning, and I mentor people and I do daily mindset sessions. I've done them myself for the last 12 years, and I just share what I do with other people. But that transition, bridging that gap between employment and self-employment, is really critical in people succeeding in franchising, I believe. And if we can support people on that journey, then they will feel more reassured. And I love the franchising world because of that, because I think, there are some franchisors out there like myself who I have created a franchise that's in the educational space, but I'm not a teacher. My skill set is actually, yes, I've created my a wonderful franchise, and I'm very passionate about what we teach. But my background before this was actually in business. So what I bring to the table and what I bring to franchisees that come on board with Mini Me Mindfulness is that I'm the business brain behind their business. So if they have a passion for teaching and bringing our lessons into the communities, into teaching, into schools, into nurseries, they can do that bit with their eyes shut, because that's what they love and that's what they do. And the scary bit for them is often the business part. And if they can partner with a franchisor that can hold them in that space, that's where they'll feel really kind of comforted. And a franchise, I love that it's more of a hybrid between actually setting your own business up, where you've then got to think about your website and your merchandise and your logo and your how to, and you're building your lesson plans, and that can take years to do, and it's taken me years to do. And the nice thing is you get to plug into the experts that have already trodden that path before you, and for a small fee of what it would cost you, what you pay for that expertise is less than, probably what you'd pay for your website and your branding at outset. And then you've got to think of the rest yourself. So I do pride myself with Mini Me Mindfulness on not just being someone who was very passionate about their trade and then decided to duplicate what they do, but someone who actually came into this with a lot of business knowledge. And I've got that to share and support my franchisees with as well.
Well, Tessa, yeah, look, what you've brought up there is really, really important, and I think a lot of new franchisors, especially, forget about that. They forget that people, the majority of franchisees, I would say over 80%, are moving from they've only ever been employed to a self-employed position, and whether they a limited company or a sole trader or VAT registered or not VAT, like these are all people don't understand that. And there are a lot of new franchisors that don't really provide any support or knowledge or anything around that. They kind of leave people to figure that out on their own. And they say, oh, I'll talk to your accountant, or what accountant? I need an accountant. What does that mean? And so people just don't have a clue. Tell me a bit, because that's really, really interesting, because you've got that covered, it sounds like. And with how do you help educate people about that side of it, moving from employment to self-employed? Talk a bit more about the Boss Your Morning app, and I guess how that helps with that, because I think that is something that every new franchisor has to consider massively as part of their, what they do and what they offer.
Whether they rise or whether they fail is all down to their mindset. I say it's all down to their mindset. It's also to do with their work ethic. But you could be the most talented person with the greatest work ethic, but if you haven't got an entrepreneurial mind, or willing to transition to an entrepreneurial mind, then you are likely to fail in business. And unfortunately, lots of businesses do fail because of that. So I am really passionate, and this is where, I mean, when I came out of the city and moved into the network marketing world. Network marketing being, you don't have to pay to get into network marketing. Own your own business. It's a similar to a franchise. So with a franchise, there's a financial commitment to get into it. And know, with network marketing, I learned that, and I watched hundreds of people come into a business and think, right, okay, why didn't that person, they were really, worked really hard, they were really talented, on a CV, they looked amazing, but actually, why did they not succeed? And it comes down to their mindset. So I'm so committed to helping my franchisees with their mindsets from the moment they have a phone call with me, because I know that in business and in life, we have wobbles. And by that, I mean, we have fears, we have doubts, we have limiting beliefs that can take us out of the equation completely. And we need to master our minds. And that's what I coach people how to do. And I've been doing that for the last 12 years, and which is where Mini Me Mindfulness came from, because I've been coaching adults on this, but on this basis. And I first of all realized, actually, you know, in business, if you don't have the, you know, it's not always a straight line to the top. You might look at the income numbers and think, okay, in year one, I should be doing this. If I do this many hours, in year two, I must be doing this. In year three, you can look at the forecasted amounts and you could think, okay, this is just going to roll in. It doesn't. You have to put actions in place to be able to, you know, to be able to master your business. And you also have to know that actually sometimes you're planting seeds. You could work your business for 3 months or 6 months and not see the returns that you desire, but there is a compound effect on your efforts. And therefore, what you put into your business in the initial stages is going to feel like sometimes you're running through treacle, and you could either stop and sink, or you can keep going, knowing that actually that you're what you put into your business, you will get out of it. If there is a brand that has proven that before, and you know, with any sales and marketing, you know that there are ratios that we work towards, and generally they do play out, but you have to get through the initial stages of your business to kind of get your business off the runway. A bit like if you were launching a plane, you have to taxi down that runway, and then you have to really give it your all before you see that liftoff. But most people stop on the runway because they haven't got the mindset to push through that. And I think, you know, my app, Boss Your Morning, literally is a free download from the app stores. And I coach on a few things where I've read hundreds of books over the years, and there's lots of things, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that, and you think, gosh, it's like a full-time job in itself. So with Boss Your Morning, what I did is when I was setting up my network marketing business, of which I had quick success in that, and I was working in the city and I had a toddler, and people were looking to me to say, how did you do all of this? It's like, well, actually, I carve out half an hour every morning for myself. So before my day starts, I boss my morning, and I've done that for the last 12 years, regardless of whether I'm traveling the world, whether I've got a baby, whether I've got businesses or jobs. I always spend that first half an hour on my for myself. And in that half an hour, I do my guided meditation. I talk about my gratitude. I do my affirmations. I look at my vision. I always have a vision that's cast 5 years out. I then play some kind of inspiration. I get inspired by others. And then I write an action list, and I write down 5 things that I'm going to do every single day, and I do those things. And what happens is, by doing that process, you actually build yourself up from the inside. So before your day even starts, and you know you might have challenges or curveballs that come your way, you've built yourself up. So you're actually able to then give to your team, to your family, to your friends, to your job, to your all of these sorts of things. And also, you know that even just by doing your daily tasks, and you're moving yourself in the direction that you need to go. And even if you're not seeing results show up straight away, you are changing the set of the sail by 1%. When you're setting up a new business, it's like, you know the direction you want to go, but you've got to gradually change to that. And you will end up in the direction that you want to go, but you have to work on yourself daily. Your mindset is like a muscle, when it's like going to the gym. You don't see your six pack show up straight away. I wish we did. But it doesn't happen. And therefore, you know, your results in life, you know, whether it be business, whether it be franchise, whether it be body, whether it be fitness, whether it be, you know, family, whatever relationships, it needs work, and it needs daily work. And I feel that the most successful people in life and business, they do exactly that. They have daily disciplines that they stick to, and they stick to them until. And I think in franchising, we could really help people move, you know, create that, you know, those daily disciplines that you're not encouraged to do in employment, because, you know, why cast a vision so big that, you know, employers can't give you that pay rise, or they can't give you that promotion. So you're kind of stuck in that box. when you flip the lid and you come out of that box, you can then start to dream and you can create businesses and franchises that can allow you to live the life that you choose. And it's about, you know, then the more evidence you get of that as you go, the bigger your vision becomes. And yeah, life is exciting when you work it on that basis. And I think more people need to encourage people to think along those lines. And I know that, you know, franchises will boom if the mindset is correct.
Look, Tess, I think that is the best note that we could have ended on, because that's brilliant. That is great advice, I think, for anyone listening, whether they're a business owner looking to franchise their business, whether they're someone who's employed and is looking to go self-employed, maybe through franchising, maybe trying to do something for themselves, but also for existing franchisors who, you know, may think they've made it to a certain degree, but you can always improve. You can always improve things. And and there's a really simple, you know, way to do it. And and obviously, I guess if anyone wants to find out more about that, they can get in touch with you directly. So but yeah, Tessa, anything else you'd like to say before we...
Yeah, I'd also like to say as well that part of my journey, the reason why I've been able to kind of, you know, grow so quick and I'm confident in the direction that we're going is lean on professionals, you know, like the franchising centre, because, you know, when we're stepping into new arenas, we can take the advice or not. I've already kind of mentioned being a bit of a rebel at the outset. However, you've got to go with your heart. But the thing is, there are people that are going to give you clues and that are going to help you on your journey. And I know that, you know, there are different phases in your journey where different professionals can support and help. And I would definitely lean on the people that, you know, the expertise, you know, that can offer that expertise, because it can shortcut a lot of that, you know, a lot of the mistakes that people might make, or the, you know, or help inform the decisions that they make along the way as well. I know we've had, you know, we had an amazing conversation at the back end of last year. And I know that, you know, the services that you guys offer are incredible. And I know that they will be relevant for us at some point in the future. And I absolutely know that that every franchise is going to go on a journey where we're going to elevate ourselves to different areas where different skill sets are going to be required. And so when you're entering into the new arena, you know, doing your research and learning and growing and never feeling like you've arrived, because there's always people that can help, you know, build and expand and push those kind of boundaries for you, which is always a good thing in business and life. So, but thank you. I really appreciate chatting to you, actually, and you know, learning from you as well, and being able to help support your community, because I think linking arms together is the way that, you know, the franchising world is going to flourish.
Absolutely, Tessa. So thanks so much, and look, have a good rest of your day, and I'm sure we'll meet up in person at some point in the future.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yes, bye.
Bye.